Well, it's certainly good to be here this morning. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to share God's Word. If you take your Bible this morning and go to Psalm 142. Psalm 142, we'll be looking there in just a moment. In David's life, there's lots of lessons that he learns, lessons, the consequences of sin. David learns the lessons of waiting upon the Lord. And in Psalm 142, he learns that God is his sufficiency. We get the wrong idea occasionally as preachers and servants of the Lord that it all depends on us. That's foolish. We get all bent out of shape because we are insufficient. The truth of the matter is, when you realize that you are insufficient, you have just become usable in the hands of Almighty God. I heard a story the other day. Muhammad Ali loaded an airplane and sat down, and the stewardess came to him and said, "Sir, you need to put on your seatbelt." Muhammad Ali said, "Superman don't need a seatbelt." The stewardess very calmly replied, "Well, sir, Superman does not need an airplane." And we have the Superman mentality, and I pray that it won't be yours. The truth of the matter is, I find myself very often and frequently crying to the Lord because I need Him. I need Him. I can't pastor the church without the power of God. I can't be a husband to my wife without the power and blessing of God. I can't raise my children without the power and blessing of God. I can attempt it, but my attempts will be feeble failures at best, and I need to remember that God is in control. When we come to the 142nd Psalm, right below the number here, Psalm 142, we see a title. It says, "Maskil of David, a prayer when he was in a cave." It gives us some insight as to where David finds himself at this moment in time. He's backed up in a cold, dark cave. He's run for his life. He's left his hopes and ambitions behind. And he writes this psalm. And I pray it'll be an encouragement to you this morning as we study God's Word together. Psalm 142. "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me." I want you to draw your attention to verse number 4. David speaking, writing the psalm, says, "I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." I want to share with you a message. No man cared for my soul, from this portion of Scripture. And just remind us of how wonderful the Lord is and that we can put our confidence in Him. David finds himself in a very interesting spot. In his life, David has seen a lot of amazing things happen. He's killed a lion and a bear in the power of God. He's faced a giant and won the victory through the power of God. He has been promoted in the house of King Saul to the king's son-in-law. He's married the king's daughter. He has won victory after victory as a man of war under the king's leadership. He is best friends with the king's son, Jonathan. But there's something going on in David's life that is very disheartening. King Saul has been controlled by the green monster of envy, and King Saul has attempted to take David's life. David has fled. He's left behind his wife, his children, his men, his servants, his armies, his best friend, and a king whom he loves. And he's found himself in a place called the Cave of Adullam. And there he's all alone, and this psalm gets its origin from that cave. His plans are disrupted. His heart is broken. His future is uncertain. But he encouraged himself in the Lord. We see in the beginning of this psalm, a broken heart, I cried unto the Lord. And we see in the conclusion of this psalm, the Lord will deal bountifully with me. And I want to tell you this morning, no matter the circumstances of your life, God is faithful. And no matter the trials that you may face, God is faithful. And we can put our confidence and our trust in the Lord. The Bible says here in the first verse, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I'd like to make my first point there. As we consider the fact that no man cared for David's soul, and David was all alone, backed up in a cold, dark cave, his heart broken, what did he do? The Bible begins, and he began the psalm, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Point one, when no man cared for my soul, God heard my prayer. God heard my prayer. You know what we tend to do? We tend to make prayer a last resort. It seems like when I've tried everything else that I can possibly try, I go to the Lord in prayer. I preached yesterday morning from the life of Jacob. And Jacob is getting ready to face Esau, and he's plotted the scheme. He's come up with a plan of how he can appease Esau, and it's almost like, oh, I forgot. I got to pray. He says, oh, Lord, please. And before he even says amen, he's back to thinking, how can I plot and scheme and win? He was depending on himself. God's people need to understand that prayer is our first line of defense. We need to pray. We need to call on the Lord. Why do we pray? I want to tell you something. You do not pray to inform God. What can you tell God that He doesn't already know? We don't pray to inform God. Why do we pray? Well, we must pray to impress God. Wrong again. The Lord despised long, loud, showy prayers. Jesus addressed the Pharisees on numerous occasions. Hypocrites. We do not pray to inform God. We do not pray to impress God. We pray to invite God. We need to invite God into our lives, into our plans. We need to invite Him to have His will and way in our lives. We need to invite Him to direct us, to guide us. And David found out something. Even though he'd left his wife, his children, his servants, his armies, his best friend, and a king who he honored and respected behind, and he was all alone, he found out something. God is there. God is there. And I want you to know something. When it seems like no one else could understand or care, God will hear your prayer. God will hear your prayer. I like what he says. The Bible says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And what an emphasis. I cried unto the Lord. Do you think it was? No, I think he cried. I would like to scream, but I'm too dignified to scream right now. You can just imagine. I cried unto the Lord. Oh, you know something? I have two little boys, and they are boys. I mean boys to the nth degree of the word. You wouldn't believe what those kids can tear up. I tell you, I think that if I gave Hudson, our five-year-old, a plastic fork and an anvil, he could destroy an anvil. That's just the way he is. And so... Two boys, being boys, you can be sure that there are times when they get hurt. And then there are also times when they're not so hurt. There's the cry, and when I hear that, I'm like, grow up, man up. Or if I'm a long way away and I hear them whining and fussing a little bit, crying a little bit, I just ignore it because I think, how ridiculous. But then there was that time that Ian, on his dirt bike, as fast as he could possibly go, he ran it into our deep creek. Yeah. You know what he did? He cried. He screamed bloody murder. And you know what Dad did? I dropped everything that I was doing, and as fast as I could get there, I was with him. I was down in the creek. I was knee-deep in water. digging him out of the creek because I didn't know what was wrong. I didn't know how I could help, but I needed to be there. Dad needed to be there. Oh, you know something? God despises your whining and your complaining, but He will hear your cry. Call on Him. Say, Lord, I'm desperate for Your help. And I want you to know something. When you found yourself desperate for God, He'll be there. And He'll be faithful. You see, we still rely on our self when we're whining and complaining. It's, oh, it's so rough being me. But when we're hurt and alone, in genuine need of God and His blessing and His presence and His direction, God will hear your prayer. Make no mistake about it. David said, I've looked on my right hand and refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. No man cared for my soul, he said, but God has heard my prayer. The Bible says in verse number 2, I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. He says, Lord, in the midst of all my heartache and grief, I need You. When no man cares for your soul, God will hear your prayer. Look at the third verse. The Bible says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. Back up to the third verse. The Bible says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. Now, I love that little phrase, Thou knewest my path. Point number 2. David found out when no man cared for his soul, not only did God hear his prayer, but God knew his path. Thou knewest my path. That's encouraging to me. The life of David is an interesting story, and the path of David's life took several turns and crooks along the way and hiccups and interesting things, but David's life is fascinating. The shepherd boy, you remember the day that the prophet Samuel came to Samuel's house, came to Jesse's house, the father of David, and the sons of Jesse stood before the prophet. And one by one, from the oldest and strongest all the way down to the last one present, they came before the prophet, and Samuel said, no, 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 no. And when he'd reached the end of the sons, Samuel says to Jesse, there must be another one somewhere. Jesse's response was, well, there is the shepherd boy. Send for the shepherd boy. They send for David. David comes out of the field into the presence of Samuel. And God speaks to the prophet of God and says, this is the next king of Israel. This is God's anointed. And that day, David is anointed to be the next king of Israel. God's blessing is on his life and God's power is on his life. And from that point forward, I can just imagine if David were in Bible college that day, he'd have been thinking, now how can I get this worked out? I gotta get a wife, I gotta get a job, I gotta figure out how to get all this done. And he started plotting the path of his life. And it seemed like things were going really good. You see, there was a time when David was in the presence of, he was anointed to be the king. He goes back to the shepherd's field, but it seems like it's not very long until Saul has an evil spirit and God begins to put the pieces together. It seems like that God's putting the pieces together to get David in the king's house. Who's chosen to go and play the harp in the king's house? David. David. I can just imagine the excitement in a young man's heart as he plays the harp before the king and God uses him there. But it's not long, it seems, till he's back in the shepherd's field. Well, that one didn't work out. One day his dad calls on him and says, David, I need you to go and check on the war. There's a battle going on between the Philistines and your brothers down there fighting. I need you to go take this food and go and check and see what's going on. He goes, and when he goes, you know what he hears? He hears a giant defacing and denaming his God, cursing God. Well, this runs all over David. He says, I can't let that guy stand there and curse my God. The same God that helped me slay a lion and slay a bear, that same God's going to help me take care of this giant. He goes to Saul and says, I'll take care of it. He says, I'm going to take care of this giant. He tries on Saul's armor. It didn't work. He said, I'm not proving that, but I've proven the Lord. And he goes and gets a sling and five smooth stones and goes to the battlefield and slays the giant Goliath. You remember that day? Wow. Can you imagine in the heart of a young man with zeal for God? Here it is. I'm on my way to fulfilling God's will for my life. Hallelujah. He comes off the battlefield that day. The ladies are singing, Saul has killed his thousands, David his tens of thousands. And a spark of envy comes into Saul's heart. And David begins his road of promotion. David goes to the king's house, marries the king's daughter, becomes best friends with the king's son, leads the king's armies, defeats the king's enemies. And I can imagine in the heart of a young man, I'm on the road to fulfilling God's will for my life. God's putting all the pieces together and everything's looking great. Everything's only up and up. Yes. Hallelujah. All I got to do is sit and mark time and wait till Saul moves out of the way. And I'm going to be in the center of God's will. And it'll be smooth sailing all the way home. How many of you have ever had your plans disrupted? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, me too. When I was probably in January, before I graduated from Crown College in 2004, if you'd asked me, and everyone asked at that time in your life, what are you going to do when you graduate from college? You know what I would have told you? I said, I'll do anything. This was exactly what I said to everybody that asked. I'll do anything the Lord wants me to, but I don't want to work with teenagers. Yeah, they're crazy. Good night. Teenagers, yuck. Within 6 months, I was married to the love of my life, and I was the youth pastor at Temple Baptist Church in Powell, Tennessee. Doesn't God have a sense of humor? And fell in love with it. Fell in love with youth ministry. Fell in love with working with young people. God changes our plans. I was working at Temple Baptist Church as the youth pastor just after I graduated from college. A wonderful opportunity and a great privilege. And literally, in my heart, I'd said, you know, I'll stay there forever. I'll stay there forever. I planned on dying at Temple Baptist Church. God put it in my heart. It's time to move. I'm not an unstable kind of guy. I'm the kind of guy that just gets in and digs in and we deal with what comes. I'm not a run from it or hide kind of fella. But God put it in my heart. It's time to go. I went to Chilhowee Baptist Church, my home church where I'd grown up. It was a dream. I left Temple as the youth pastor and went to Chilhowee Baptist, was the assistant to my pastor at Chilhowee Baptist Church. I'd always wanted to go home. What a dream. What a dream. And God fulfilled it. It was wonderful. I'd planned on dying at Temple. But I said, well, I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. I go to Chilhowee. I planned on dying in Chilhowee, Virginia. I loved it. I loved every moment of it. People were getting saved and God was at work. Loved it. A year's time passed. And it was so clear. God put it in my heart. I was asked to come back to Temple Baptist Church. It was God's will and it was. And here I am again. The youth pastor again at Temple Baptist Church in Powell, Tennessee. And you know what I said? Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. But I'm planning on dying right here. About 3 years passed, 2.5, something like that. And God put it in my heart so clear that I need to be pastoring. God opened every door for me to go to Bowling Springs Baptist Church. And you know what I'm saying about Bowling Springs Baptist Church? I'm going to die here. And I really pray, Lord, please, this time, can I just die somewhere? I want to. But not in a hurry. I'm not in a hurry. Give me, let's see here, I'm 31. Give me 45 or 50 years at least. But I plan on serving the Lord until I die at Bowling Springs Baptist Church. I'll be quite frank with you. There were times when God was stirring in my heart, and I'm happy. I was happy at Temple Baptist Church. I was happy at Chilhowee Baptist Church. I was happy at Temple Baptist Church. God starts stirring in my heart. And I wonder, what in the world am I going to do? I don't want to leave. I don't want the change. Help me, Lord. You know what I found out? God knows my path. And I can trust Him with my life. As a matter of fact, I can trust Him far more than I can trust me. I can trust Him with my life. And David, everything was in line. Everything was going the way he'd hoped. And it was just a matter of time that he'd be the king. And that day long ago in his past, when he was anointed to be the next king of Israel, was getting ready to come to fruition. But one day, King Saul, in a fit of rage, takes a spear and attempts to pin him to a wall. And in just a few hours' time, the path of David's life, that seemed like it was all lining up and everything was going to be great, it fell all to pieces. And now, in Psalm 142, he's backed up in a cold, dark cave, wondering, what in the world am I going to do? What in the world am I going to do? And the Holy Spirit of God, I believe, spoke to him that day and told him, you need to cry unto me because I will hear your prayer. You need to know this fact that God knows your path. Look, every disappointment that you come across in life, and there will be many, every disappointment that you come across in life, take it as the loving kindness of an all-knowing God who knows what's best for you and determined to serve Him whatever it is. And be assured of the fact that God knows your path. Oh, don't be disappointed. Don't be discouraged. God is in control. His hand is not shortened. His power is not weakened. And His love is as sincere as ever. God loves you. And God knows your path. If you think that you can trust God with the path of your life, would you say amen this morning? Amen. I agree. So when David was backed up in a cold, dark cave, he said, no man cared for my soul, but God heard my prayer. God knew my path. And finally, number three, God was my place and my portion. You know, David's thinking, my path is messed up, and also, I just happened to leave behind everything that I needed. I left the food. I left the house. I left the job. I left the money. I left all the provisions that I had provided for myself. I left it all behind, and I'm here in a cave. In those days, there was not a Walmart down the street from the cave of Adullam. And he couldn't get his Capital One out of his pocket. He said, I've got a problem. He said, I don't have a place to live, and I have nothing to eat. The Bible says in verse number 5, he says, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. You know what he's decided? He decided, if I can trust God with the path of my life, then surely I can trust Him with a place of shelter, a refuge. And surely I can trust Him with a portion, the food and the substance that I need to live and to thrive. And I can assure you that God never failed David, and God will never fail you. And when you find yourself at a time when your heart's broken, things seem to be up in the air and uncertain, the future is shaky at best, and be reminded this morning, when it seems that no man cared for your soul, God was your place and your portion. You know that God can be trusted. And no matter the trial or the trouble you're facing this morning, or that you face in the future, be sure that when you look around and you say, there's no man that cared for my soul, God is on the throne. He will hear your prayer. He knows your path. And God will be your place and your portion. May we trust the Lord. May we trust the Lord Jesus Christ to meet our needs. You say, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you say, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you raise your hand and raise it high this morning? I am too. The Lord Jesus will not forsake His servant. He can be trusted. May we put our confidence in Him this morning.